A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one, and it's basically the Eurobox endgame. He's moving apartments, already swapped his office gear into industrial Euroboxes, and now he's looking at the last holdouts. Underbed storage, kitchen goods, bathroom stuff, and the bulk overflow like toilet paper and paper towels. The question is, can you standardize every zone of a household onto the 600 by 400 millimeter footprint and turn moving into a near trivial operation?
I love this because he's already seen the payoff. He said the IKEA system was falling apart, he went to an industrial plastic supplier, and the boxes have already earned their keep in the move. And now he's staring at the rest of the apartment thinking, what if everything worked this way?
He mentioned unpacking went from a full day to about 2 hours. That's not a marginal improvement. That's a system-level change.
That's the thing I want to sit with before we even get into the zones. The real revelation here isn't that Euroboxes are sturdy. We know that. It's that standardization itself is the product. When every container in your home shares one footprint, you stop thinking about packing as a puzzle. You just stack.
Which is exactly what happened during my last move. I had one of those IKEA Kallax shelves, the cube unit everyone owns, and it just gave up mid-move. Collapsed under its own weight, spilled mismatched bins everywhere. Lids that didn't fit, containers that were slightly different sizes, that one bin you bought 3 years ago that's been discontinued. I stood there looking at the wreckage and thought, I am never doing this again.
That's when you went industrial.
26 Euroboxes, all 600 by 400 in three heights, 170, 320, and 420 millimeters. Every single one stacked with every other one. The moving truck had three clean columns. I didn't repack a single thing. I moved boxes from shelf to dolly to truck to shelf, and I was done.
Let's define what we're actually talking about here. The Eurobox standard, DIN EN 13199, also known as VDA 4500, uses a 600 by 400 millimeter footprint. Heights come in three common flavors, 170 millimeters, 320, and 420. The 170 is the hero here because that's what fits under a bed, under a bathroom sink, under a kitchen cabinet.
Daniel specifically called that out. He said the footprint extends down to 17 centimeters depending on the manufacturer. He knows Schuler, Alibert, and Utz make the 170 variant, and he knows that not everyone does. Some manufacturers bottom out at 175, and that extra 5 millimeters can be the difference between sliding under a bed and scraping the frame.
That's the kind of detail that separates a theoretical discussion from someone who's actually about to spend money. In Israeli apartments especially, underbed clearance is often tight. You don't have 18 centimeters to play with. You've got 17, maybe 17 and a half, so the 170 box is non-negotiable.
Let's talk about what actually happened in my move. 12 euro boxes for the kitchen, dry goods, utensils, pots and pans that weren't too heavy, 8 for the bathroom, toiletries, cleaning supplies, towels, 6 for underbed storage, off-season clothes, bedding, documents. 26 boxes total, every single one 600 by 400. They stacked in three columns in the truck. I went from truck to apartment to fully unpacked in 2 hours.
2 hours versus what? A full day previously?
Easily a full day. And that's not counting the pre-move packing time, which was also slashed because everything was already in its permanent container. I didn't have to find boxes, wrap things, or label 100 random cardboard cartons. The boxes were already labeled. The contents were already organized. Moving day was just transportation.
This is where the system thinking kicks in. Daniel's framing this as filling in the last gaps in the Eurobox migration. He's already done the office. Now he's looking at underbed, kitchen, bathroom, and bulk overflow. And he's wondering, can these zones really work on the same footprint?
The short answer is yes, but the interesting part is how. Each zone has its own constraints. Underbed is about clearance and slide-out access. Kitchen is about cabinet width and pest sealing. Bathroom is about humidity resistance. Bulk overflow is about vertical stacking and inventory visibility.
The common thread is that 600 by 400 is an extraordinarily useful ratio. It was designed for pallets. A standard Euro pallet is 1200 by 800, which fits exactly four of these boxes in a 2x2 grid. But that same footprint happens to work beautifully in domestic spaces too, because 60 centimeters is the standard width of a kitchen cabinet, and 40 centimeters is shallow enough to slide under most furniture.
Let's start with underbed storage. People buy those fabric zipper bags or long flat plastic bins shaped specifically for underbed, and they're terrible. They don't stack when empty. They don't nest. They're flimsy. And they're never the same size twice, so you can't build a system around them.
The fabric ones also collect dust like nothing else. And if you've ever tried to slide one out from under a bed on carpet, the fabric catches, the zipper snags, the whole thing accordions.
Whereas a Eurobox at 170 height, rigid plastic, smooth bottom, slides out like a drawer. You can put felt pads on the bottom if you're on hardwood, but even without them, the plastic glides better than fabric. A standard queen bed is 152 by 203 centimeters. The Eurobox is 60 by 40. You can fit three across the width and two deep for a total of six boxes under one bed.
Six boxes is a lot of storage. Off-season clothing, extra bedding, shoes, documents. And because they're all the same footprint, you can pull anyone out without disturbing the others. They're not interlocked, they're just neighbors.
When you move, you don't empty them. You slide them out, stack them on the dolly, and they go straight into the truck. The contents never leave the box. The box is the permanent home, not a temporary packing solution.
Daniel mentioned that underbed storage is less than ideal in small Israeli apartments. In a perfect world, you'd have closets for everything. But practically, underbed space gets used because there's nowhere else. And if you're going to use it, you might as well use it with boxes that are part of your overall system.
The alternative isn't no underbed storage. The alternative is underbed storage that's a mess. So you embrace the constraint and optimize for it.
Now let's talk kitchen. A standard kitchen-based cabinet is 60 centimeters wide. A Eurobox is 60 centimeters wide. That's not a coincidence. It's the same DIN standard universe. The box fits into the cabinet with essentially zero wasted lateral space.
The depth works too. Base cabinets are usually about 55 to 60 centimeters deep, so the 40 centimeter box depth leaves you some room behind for pipes or air circulation. But the real win is vertical. Most kitchen cabinets have a lot of dead air above short items. With Euroboxes, you stack. You put dry goods in a 170 or 320 box, and you stack boxes vertically inside the cabinet. The box lid becomes the shelf for the box above it. And because the lids are load-bearing, these are industrial boxes designed to be stacked with 50 kilos on top. You're not going to crush your pasta.
The lids seal. If you've ever had pantry moths or ants find their way into your kitchen, you know that cardboard boxes and open bags are an invitation. A sealed Eurobox with a gasketed lid is pest-proof. Not pest-resistant, pest-proof.
Moving on to bathroom storage. This is the zone where humidity kills everything. Cardboard boxes warp and mold. Wire baskets rust. Fabric drawer organizers get mildewy. Euroboxes are molded polypropylene, totally waterproof, and you can literally hose them out.
The 170 height fits under most bathroom sinks, especially the pedestal style or wall-mounted vanities common in Israeli apartments. You can store toiletries, cleaning supplies, spare towels. And because they're standardized, you can pull one box out to access the one behind it without unstacking everything.
Then there's bulk overflow. This is the zone Daniel mentioned with some amusement. Toilet paper, paper towels, detergent. The stuff you buy in quantity because running out is annoying. The 420 height box is the workhorse here.
This is where the dimensional fit gets almost absurdly satisfying. A standard toilet roll is about 10 centimeters in diameter and 10 centimeters wide. The 600 by 400 box fits a 3x4 grid of toilet rolls. 12 rolls per box, perfectly snug, no wasted space. Three boxes stacked gives you 36 rolls in a column that's 60 by 40 by 126 centimeters.
Which fits in a closet or a pantry corner. And you can see your inventory at a glance. You open the lid, count the rolls, know exactly when to reorder. No more surprise empty rolls because the backup pack was buried behind the cleaning supplies.
The same logic applies to paper towels, detergent bottles, bulk rice. The 420 box is deep enough for tall items but still stackable. And because it's the same footprint as all your other boxes, it integrates into the same moving day workflow.
Okay, so we've got the fit figured out. But the real magic happens when you think about the moving process end to end. Daniel's ultimate objective is to streamline moving, and that's where full standardization changes the game.
Let's walk through what a move actually looks like when every household item is already in a Eurobox. Step 1, you don't pack. The packing is already done. Your kitchen is already in boxes. Your bathroom is already in boxes. Your underbed storage is already in boxes. You're not spending the week before the move frantically sourcing cardboard cartons and wrapping dishes in newspaper.
Step 2. You stack the boxes on a dolly. A standard hand truck fits a Eurobox perfectly. The 600mm width sits right on the blade. You can move 4 or 5 boxes at once. No awkward carrying of mismatched containers. No boxes that are too heavy because you overfilled them. The box size naturally limits the weight.
Step 3. You load the truck. The boxes are designed to stack in stable columns. They interlock slightly. Most have molded ridges on the lid that mate with the base of the box above. You're not playing Tetris with random shapes. You're building a wall of identical units.
In my move, I had 3 columns in the truck. Each column was maybe 7 or 8 boxes high. Nothing shifted during transport. And when we arrived, we just reversed the process. Dolly, apartment, shelf.
The unpacking. This is what Daniel experienced with his office gear. Unpacking isn't really unpacking, it's placing. Each box already contains what belongs in a specific zone. The box labeled kitchen dry goods goes to the kitchen. You don't open it and redistribute the contents. You open it and put the box on the shelf.
That's the 2-hour unpack. You're not making decisions about where things go. Those decisions were made when you originally set up the system. Moving day is just transportation and placement. The cognitive load is near zero.
This connects to something underappreciated about standardization. It reduces decision fatigue. Daniel mentioned that the IKEA system was already falling apart. Beyond the physical failure, there's a cognitive failure. You're constantly asking, what box should I use for this? Does this container fit with that one? Every packing decision is a new problem to solve.
Whereas with a standardized system, the answer is always the same. The only question is, which height? And that's usually obvious from the contents. It lowers the barrier to organizing, because the container problem is pre-solved.
Which means you're more likely to actually stay organized. How many people have a closet full of stuff they meant to sort but never got around to because finding the right containers was too much friction? With Euroboxes, the container is always ready. You just fill it.
Now, we should talk about the elephant in the room, which Daniel acknowledged with a light touch. His wife probably has thoughts about the aesthetic implications. Euroboxes are utilitarian. They're molded plastic. They look like they belong in a warehouse, because they do.
This is the wife factor, and it's real. You can't just fill your living room with industrial-grade plastic and expect everyone to be thrilled. But there are compromises. Opaque boxes hide the contents. You don't want to see toilet paper through clear plastic in your hallway closet. But clear lids on boxes in storage closets are useful because you can see what's inside without opening.
There's a move I've seen that I think is clever. An opaque Eurobox with a bamboo or wooden topper becomes a side table. It's storage and furniture in one. The box is unobtrusive. The topper makes it look intentional, and you've got 40 liters of hidden storage under what appears to be a piece of decor.
The other approach is zone-based aesthetics. In the garage, utility room, or storage closet, clear boxes, no aesthetic compromise needed. In the kitchen, opaque boxes inside cabinets, nobody sees them anyway. Under the bed, doesn't matter, they're hidden by the bed skirt or duvet. The only place where appearance really matters is open shelving in living areas, and that's where you either use opaque boxes or accept that this is a trade-off.
Honestly, if you're a renter who moves every few years, the trade-off is worth it. The time and stress saved during moves outweighs the aesthetic compromise of having industrial boxes in your closet. You're optimizing for function, not for an Instagram post.
Daniel's in Jerusalem, and the Israeli apartment context adds another layer. Small apartments mean storage is always at a premium. Under bed and under cabinet spaces get used because they have to be used. There's no basement, no attic, no garage in most cases, So the question isn't whether to use these spaces, it's how to use them efficiently.
The 17-centimeter height is critical in that context. Israeli beds often have lower clearance than American ones. Partly style, partly the fact that apartments are smaller, and beds are pushed against walls more often. If you buy a 175 box and your bed clearance is exactly 17 centimeters, you're out of luck.
Schuler, Alibert, and Utz are the two major names that reliably offer the 170 height. Both are European manufacturers with distribution in Israel. They're not cheap. Expect to pay somewhere between 40 and 80 shekels per box, depending on height and volume. But they'll outlast any IKEA solution by a decade.
This is an investment that pays off over multiple moves. Daniel said he hopes the investment has already paid for itself, and I'd argue it has, probably on the first move. The cost of 26 euro boxes versus the cost of cardboard boxes, tape, bubble wrap, and a full day of your time, the euro boxes win.
Plus, the boxes don't degrade. Cardboard gets crushed, torn, wet. Plastic euro boxes are basically indestructible in normal household use. You'll have them for 20 years.
To Daniel's point about filling in the last gaps, underbed, kitchen, bathroom, bulk overflow, the answer is yes. All of these zones work on the 600 by 400 footprint. The 170 box is the key for clearance-sensitive spaces. The 320 handles most kitchen and bathroom volumes. The 420 is for deep storage and bulk goods. And the whole system integrates into a moving workflow that's dramatically faster and less stressful than the conventional approach.
The broader insight, the thing Daniel's really getting at, is that standardization isn't just a product choice, it's a system. The value isn't in any individual box. It's in the fact that all the boxes work together, and that compatibility extends from your closet all the way to the moving truck. You're not buying containers, you're buying interoperability.
Which is a very Daniel way of looking at it. He works in automation and tech communications. He thinks in systems. And he's applying that system's thinking to something as mundane as storage boxes, and it works.
It works because the standard already exists. He didn't have to invent it. Den EN 13199 has been around for decades. The logistics industry has been using these boxes forever. Daniel's insight is just that the standard is useful at a much smaller scale than a warehouse. It's useful in a one-bedroom apartment in Jerusalem.
Once you see it, you can't unsee it. Every cabinet becomes a potential Eurobox bay. Every underbed space becomes a grid. Every move becomes a stacking exercise instead of a packing nightmare.
Let's dig into the specific zones one at a time, because each one has its own dimensional logic and trade-offs. Underbed is where I think the biggest quick win is, so let's start there. The Eurobox, governed by DIN EN13199, uses a 600 by 400 millimeter footprint. Heights come in three common flavors, 170, 320, and 420 millimeters. The 170 unlocks under bed and under cabinet spaces. The 320 handles most kitchen and bathroom volumes. The 420 is for bulk.
The footprint isn't arbitrary. It's designed for Euro pallets, 1200 by 800, which fit exactly four boxes in a 2x2 grid. But that same 60 by 40 rectangle happens to slot into domestic spaces in ways that feel almost intentional. A 60 centimeter kitchen cabinet fits one box perfectly. 40 centimeters of depth slides under most furniture. The standard that moves goods through warehouses also moves pasta through your kitchen.
Which brings us to the thesis Daniel's really driving at. Standardizing on this one footprint across every storage zone creates what you might call a moving ready state. Your contents are always packed. Not packed for moving day, packed as their permanent condition. The box isn't temporary wrapping, it's the drawer.
That flips the entire move-in process. You don't spend 3 days before the move decanting your life into cardboard. You don't spend the day after unpacking it all again. The boxes are already labeled, already organized, already in the right rooms. Moving becomes transportation, not repacking.
Nobody is claiming Euroboxes are attractive. They're injection-molded polypropylene. They come in industrial gray, sometimes blue. They look like they belong on a loading dock, because they do.
That's fine. This isn't an aesthetic project. It's ruthless functional efficiency for people who move a lot. If you value time over decor, and if you've ever spent a full weekend wrapping dishes in newspaper, you probably do. The trade-off is obvious.
Daniel's already living this. He's got the office on the system. He's seen the move happen faster. Now he's looking at the rest of the apartment and asking whether the same logic holds for underbed, kitchen, bathroom, and bulk overflow. The answer is yes, but each zone has its own constraints, and the 170 box is the key that unlocks most of them. Under bed is where the dimensional fit gets almost elegant. Standard bed clearance in most apartments runs 18 to 20 centimeters. The 170 box slides under with room to spare. A queen bed, 152 by 203, gives you a 3x2 grid. That's 6 boxes, 60 liters each, 360 liters of storage under a single piece of furniture.
Typical underbed bins are a disaster. They're fabric, they collapse, they have wheels that break, they're tapered so you lose volume, and every brand has a slightly different shape, so you can build a system around them.
The fabric ones also breathe, which sounds like a feature until you realize you're storing off-season clothes under there and they come out smelling like floor dust and whatever the previous tenant's cat left behind. A sealed Eurobox lid stops that cold.
Here's what I noticed during the move. You slide a Eurobox out from under the bed. The rigid plastic bottom doesn't snag. You put it on the dolly, stack the next one on top, and go. When the boxes are empty at the new place, they nest inside each other. 170 boxes nest down to about 3 centimeters of stack height per box. So 6 empty boxes become a single stack, maybe 18 centimeters tall. They disappear into a closet.
That nesting behavior is something nobody thinks about until they're drowning in empty containers after a move. Cardboard you break down and recycle, but those fabric bins? They don't nest, they don't fold flat, they just sit there being volume.
Kitchen is where the 60 centimeter width gets uncanny. A standard base cabinet is 60 wide. The Eurobox is 60 wide. You open the door and the box fills the opening edge to edge. No dead zone on the sides where things fall into the gap.
The depth. Cabinets are usually 55 to 60 deep, so the 40 centimeter box depth leaves a gap at the back. That gap is useful. It's where plumbing runs in under-sink cabinets. It's where you can tuck a roll of parchment paper or a cutting board vertically. You're not losing space. You're partitioning it.
The vertical stacking is what transforms kitchen storage. A typical cabinet has one shelf, maybe two, and you pile things on them. There's always wasted headroom above short items. With Euroboxes, you fill the box to its lid and stack the next box directly on top. The lid is the shelf. You're using the full vertical column.
The 320 box is the sweet spot for most dry goods. Tall enough for a standing bag of rice or a row of cans on their sides, short enough that you can stack two of them in a standard 70 centimeter tall cabinet and still have clearance to lift the top one out.
The lid seal matters here more than anywhere. Apartment buildings in Jerusalem have pests. Ants, pantry moths, the occasional cockroach. An open bag of flour in a cabinet is a beacon. A gasketed Eurobox lid is a fortress. You're not just organizing. You're protecting your food.
Bathroom is similar logic, but the enemy is moisture, not insects. Under-sink spaces are humid, cramped, and often weirdly shaped around the trap and supply lines. Cardboard wicks moisture and grows mold. Wire baskets rust. Plastic drawer units get grimy in the corners where you can't clean.
A 170 Eurobox slides under the sink, holds toiletries and cleaning supplies, and you can pull the whole thing out and hose it down in the shower if something leaks. The polypropylene doesn't care about bleach, doesn't care about water, doesn't care about humidity.
The standardization pays off in a small way that adds up. Bathroom stuff is awkward to pack. Bottles of different heights, weird shapes, things that leak. If everything is already in a Eurobox, you just close the lid and put it on the dolly. No wrapping shampoo bottles in plastic bags and hoping they don't explode in the truck.
Bulk overflow is the last zone Daniel mentioned, and this is where the 420 box earns its keep. Toilet paper, paper towels, detergent, both dry goods. The 420 is deep enough for tall items, and the footprint stays the same.
The toilet paper grid is the thing that makes me smile every time. 12 rolls in a 3x4 pattern, perfectly snug. You open the lid and you see exactly how many you have left. No more guessing whether there's a spare pack behind the cleaning supplies.
Three of those boxes stacked. 36 rolls in a column 60 by 40 by 126 centimeters. That fits in the corner of a closet, or next to the washing machine, or in a pantry. It's dense, it's visible, it's stable.
The same box holds paper towels vertically, or a row of detergent bottles, or a bulk bag of rice. The The 420 is the catch-all for anything you buy in quantity and want to see at a glance.
The question Daniel's implicitly asking is, what are the trade-offs versus purpose-built storage? The honest answer is that purpose-built solutions are sometimes prettier, but almost never more functional. An underbed storage bag, designed specifically for underbed use, costs more, holds less, and falls apart faster. A kitchen cabinet organizer from IKEA fits one cabinet model and doesn't stack with anything else in your house.
The trade-off is always aesthetics. Purpose-built storage looks intentional. Euroboxes look industrial. If you can live with the look, the function is better in every measurable dimension. Durability, stackability, stackability, pest resistance, moisture resistance, moving compatibility.
The look is fixable in most zones. Underbed is invisible. Inside cabinets is invisible. The only place it shows is open shelving, and that's where opaque boxes or the bamboo topper trick come in.
That bamboo topper idea is genuinely clever. You take an opaque 420 box, drop a 40 by 60 centimeter bamboo cutting board on top, and suddenly it's a side table that also holds 36 toilet rolls. The guests just think you're into sustainable furniture.
Which brings us to the part Daniel hinted at but didn't fully spell out, the social dynamics of this. You're essentially imposing an industrial logistics standard on a domestic space shared with another human being. That's not a storage decision. That's a negotiation.
The negotiation is real. One person comes home with 26 gray plastic boxes and announces that the apartment is now a warehouse. The other person looks at the boxes and then looks at the IKEA catalog and says, "We need to talk."
The way through it, I think, is zoning. You don't have to win every room. Already behind doors, nobody sees them. Bathroom under sink? Nobody's hosting dinner parties under the bathroom sink. Those are easy wins.
The living room is the hard one. Open shelving, visible storage, that's where the aesthetic compromise is most acute. And that's where you either use opaque boxes, which honestly look fine, they're just gray rectangles, or you accept that some zones stay off the system. Not everything has to be standardized for the system to work.
The goal isn't 100% Eurobox coverage. It's enough coverage that moving day flips from chaos to process. If your kitchen, bathroom, underbed, and bulk overflow are all on the system, you've already captured maybe 80% of your household volume. The last 20%. The decorative items, the framed photos, the houseplants, those can move the old-fashioned way, and it won't ruin your day.
This is where the decision fatigue point really lands. The system doesn't have to be total to be valuable. It just has to be the default. When you go to store something, the first question is, does this go in a Eurobox? Not, what container do I need to buy? That alone eliminates 90% of the friction.
Daniel's situation in Israel adds a specific constraint. Small apartments here often have literally no storage beyond what you can fit under things. No basement, no attic, no garage, no utility room. The underbed and undercabinet spaces aren't optional extras. They're the only storage you have.
In that context, the 17 centimeter height isn't just a nice spec. It's the difference between having storage and not having storage. If your bed has exactly 17 centimeters of clearance and you buy a 175 box, you now own a very sturdy container that lives in the hallway because it doesn't fit anywhere.
I've made that mistake. Not with Euroboxes, but with an underbed bin that was 2 millimeters too tall. It sat against the wall for 6 months before I gave it away. So Daniel's right to name Schuler Alibert and Utz specifically. They're the ones who actually make the 170. Measure first, buy second, cry never.
The other Israel-specific thing is that moves here tend to be more frequent and more chaotic. Renting in Jerusalem means you might move every 2 or 3 years as leases end, rents change, life circumstances shift. So the moving payoff compounds faster.
The professional mover dynamic is worth underlining. Daniel mentioned leaving the heavy appliances to the pros. And he's right. You don't Eurobox a washing machine. But the contents of your kitchen, which would normally take 3 hours to wrap and box, those are already done. The movers show up, see 26 labeled boxes, and the job is half finished before they start.
Movers love standardized boxes. I've asked. They hate the random assortment, the cardboard carton that's about to split, the garbage bag full of bedding, the plastic tote with no lid. Standardized boxes stack fast. They don't surprise you with weight distribution, and they fit through doorways predictably.
You're paying movers by the hour. If standardization cuts 2 hours off the job, the boxers are paying for themselves in labor savings alone. That's before you even count the value of not losing a weekend to packing.
There's a knock-on effect here that I think is the real insight. When the container system is pre-solved, you're more likely to actually declutter. The barrier to organizing drops because you're not standing in the closet thinking, okay, what do I put this in? Do I need to go to IKEA? Will it fit? That whole decision tree disappears.
The box is already there. You just fill it. And if it's full, you either get another box, same footprint, same stack, or you decide you have too much stuff. The box becomes a natural governor on accumulation. One box for off-season clothes. If it doesn't fit, something goes.
Which is a very Daniel way to think about it. He works in automation. He thinks about systems that reduce cognitive overhead. This is the domestic version of that, automating the container decision so your brain can focus on what actually matters.
What actually matters on moving day is not losing your mind. I've done moves both ways. The old way. I was still packing boxes at midnight the night before, wrapping things in t-shirts because I ran out of bubble wrap, writing labels that made no sense the next day. The Eurobox way, I went to bed at 10, woke up, and the movers just took the boxes. That's not a marginal improvement. That's a different life.
The system doesn't just save time. It saves the psychological cost of chaos. Moving is already one of the most stressful life events. Standardization removes the part of the stress that comes from uncertainty. Where is this? What box is it in? Did I label it? Will it break? All of that goes away.
The answer to Daniel's question, can you fill in the last gaps, is yes. Underbed, kitchen, bathroom, bulk overflow, all work on 600 by 400. The 170 box is the clearance key. The 320 handles most volumes. The 420 handles bulk. And the whole thing integrates into a moving workflow that turns a weekend of chaos into a morning of stacking.
The final thing I'd say is that the aesthetic compromise is real but manageable. Opaque boxes where they show, clear lids where they don't, and the bamboo topper for the living room. You're not decorating, you're engineering. And for renters who move often, engineering beats decorating every time.
What do you actually do with all this? Three things you can knock out this weekend. Get a tape measure and check every storage zone, under every bed, inside every cabinet, under every sink. You're looking for 600 by 400 millimeter clearance, and critically, vertical clearance of at least 170 millimeters. Don't guess. Guessing is how you end up with a box that lives in the hallway.
Then buy exactly one box. A single 170 from Schuler Alibert or Utz. Test it in every zone. Slide it under the bed, into the cabinet, under the bathroom sink. If it fits everywhere, you're clear to commit. If it doesn't, you've spent 40 shekels on a very nice container for something else instead of 2,000 shekels on a system that doesn't fit.
Second step. Start with one zone. Kitchen dry goods is the easiest win. Pull everything out of one cabinet, replace the random containers with Euroboxes, and just use it for a week. You'll notice two things immediately. One, you can see what you have without moving anything. Two, you stop buying duplicates because the inventory is visible.
The stacking behavior changes how you use the cabinet. You're not reaching past things anymore. You lift a box, access what's underneath, put it back. It's a drawer system without drawers.
Third step, and this is the one that pays off hardest on moving day. Label every box with a zone name and a QR code linked to a photo of the contents. You can generate QR codes for free, stick them on the lid, and when you're unpacking, you just scan in place. No opening boxes to remember what's inside. No kitchen misc labels that mean nothing at the new apartment.
The QR code thing isn't over-engineering. Moving day is cognitively brutal. You're tired, you're stressed, you're making hundreds of small decisions. Anything that lets you offload a decision to a system you set up when you were calm is worth doing.
The photo is the key part. A label that says bathroom tells you where the box goes. A photo tells you exactly what's in it without opening the lid. You can decide this box goes under the sink. This one goes in the cabinet before you even touch it.
One thing I keep coming back to, and Daniel didn't raise this directly, but it's the obvious next frontier, is clothing. Euroboxes aren't built for hanging items, but folded clothes? Sweaters, t-shirts, workout gear, socks, those work perfectly in the 170 height. You can fit a surprising amount, and the sealed lid keeps out dust and moths.
The question is whether there's a clothing-specific standard that could integrate with the 600x400 system. Something like a hanging module that sits on the same footprint. Maybe a collapsible garment rack that slots into a 420 box as a base. It doesn't exist yet, as far as I know, but the logic is there.
That's the bigger thought I want to leave hanging. The Eurobox standard has been around for decades in logistics. Every warehouse, every trucking company, every palletized supply chain uses it, but it hasn't made the jump to residential architecture. Why aren't apartments being designed with built-in 600x400 shelving as a feature?
It's not a crazy idea. You'd frame a closet with rails spaced exactly 60 centimeters apart, 40 centimeters deep. Euroboxes slide in like drawers. No shelves needed. The boxes are the shelves. You move in, you bring your boxes, you slot them into the rails, you're unpacked in 20 minutes.
The standard already exists. The boxes already exist. The only missing piece is architects and builders treating modular storage as infrastructure rather than an afterthought. Given how many people rent and move frequently, a move-in ready Eurobox apartment would be a legitimate selling point.
Someone's going to do it. Probably in Berlin or Tel Aviv, somewhere with a lot of renters and a lot of industrial design sensibility. And when they do, Daniel will be able to say he was ahead of the curve.
Now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
In the late 1600s, the rules of real tennis required a server to call out, chase, markers that varied by court shape. An unintended consequence being that a player who memorized the irregular chase lines of every court in the circuit gained a bigger advantage than someone with a better serve.
Right. If you've got a weird prompt for us, send it to prompts@myweirdprompts.com. This has been My Weird Prompts. I'm Korn.
I'm Herman Poppleberry.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.